In September, the State Board of Regents recognized Carly Santangelo, an agriculture teacher working in the Southern Tier, as New York's 2022 Teacher of the Year. In a nomination letter from February, Carly's principal in the Cuba Rushford Central School District wrote that she is a teacher who, quote, knows no limits, and credited her with creating innovative and powerful learning opportunities for her students with an impact that stretched well beyond the four walls of her classroom. And Carly Santangelo joins us now on the Capitol Press Room. Welcome to the show, Carly, and congrats on your special honor.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So how did you learn you were New York's Teacher of the Year, and was it a surprise?
I was certainly surprised at the beginning of the process, even when I was nominated. I think that, like many teachers, I spend a lot of time with my head down, teaching, doing the job that I love so much. So I was surprised to have been nominated and absolutely honored. I really enjoyed the application process, and I was thrilled during each round to find out that I had advanced to the next. Every time I would complete a round, I would kind of reflect on that experience, and I really felt like I grew as an educator through the process of the application, reflecting on my practices and my career up until this point. So I felt like I had gained value through each stage of the application, and it was just so exciting to get a notification that I had moved on to the next round.
Have you read or seen any of the letters endorsing your candidacy that were submitted to the Teacher of the Year Advisory Council from not only your bosses, but your peers?
Yes. So I've been able to read the letters. I had to solicit those letters of recommendation from my administration and my coworker and a former student, and compiled them into my application materials. So I was able to read those. They also came to the school and interviewed staff and students, and I was not a part of that.
So what was your reaction to these letters, which are more than just rote endorsements? These are overflowing with praise and admiration for the work you do as a teacher.
My favorite letter is the one that was written by my former student, Olivia Barnes. And that is a letter that I come back to on days that are hard. I think teaching is a profession, like many professions, that has great days and really challenging days. And that letter from Olivia can kind of bring me back to why I love doing what I'm doing. They are certainly all glowing letters, but making a difference in my students' lives is certainly my number one priority, and it's really good to remind myself that I have made that difference for some students.
So I mentioned in the introduction that you're an agriculture teacher, but what does that actually mean to be an agriculture teacher for middle and high school students?
In New York State, agriculture is an area of classroom certification. I'm also certified to teach biology, so I hold a classroom biology certificate and an agriculture certificate, which technically the agriculture certificate is K-12, but I teach middle and high school agriculture classes. And as an agriculture teacher, I teach a huge variety of subjects, because agriculture covers a variety of topics. So I teach everything from animals and plants to leadership and mechanics and welding.
So I imagine an agriculture class is normally oriented towards a hands-on curriculum. So what was it like pivoting your lesson plans to remote learning starting in the spring of 2020?
It was such a valuable experience for me to really think about what I wanted my students to understand out of the hands-on lessons that I was teaching. And I always enjoy reflecting on my practice. So I've said repeatedly that pivoting to virtual and hybrid instruction and all of these changes has truly made me a better educator. I am more precise with my goals for my lessons, and a little bit more efficient in reaching those because we had less time to I had less time to spend with my students when I did get to see them. So while there are certainly challenges of taking a hands-on career and technical education course and pivoting to hybrid instruction or virtual instruction, there are also a lot of benefits, and there were a lot of changes that I made that I will continue to do now that we're teaching back in person.
What made you gravitate toward agriculture, which is an industry dominated by men? And in your classroom, how do you go about, if at all, trying to recruit or appeal to young women that this is a class that they should be interested in and potentially a career they should be interested in?
I became interested in agriculture because of my involvement in ag as a student and as a youth in, I used to call it rural Connecticut until I moved to Western New York. So now I call it suburban Connecticut. And so I was an agriculture student myself when I was in high school and grew up with positive role models. I never needed to believe that my gender could impact what role I could play in agriculture. And I found that to be very valuable, and that is what I strive to show my students. There are lots of female agriculture teachers who are empowering their students, both male and female, any gender, to pursue careers in agriculture simply by being present and doing the things that they do. And I find that that's really, really valuable for my students, that they get to see that modeled to them every day. And I feel that I get that it's an important part of my job, that I get to be that model for them. And it causes me to challenge myself a little bit more, too.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Carly Santangelo, an agriculture teacher working in the Southern Tier, who was recently selected as New York's 2022 Teacher of the Year. One of the biggest challenges facing agriculture in New York is that we have aging farmers, and there aren't enough young New Yorkers interested in replacing them. Given that backdrop, do you feel any pressure to create the next generation of farmers through your teaching?
My role is to help grow not just the farmers, but all of the support people in agriculture. And one of my main goals is to help students realize that there are careers in agriculture for everyone, not just those that want to farm. And so by broadening the perspective of what agriculture means, we can bring more young people into the field, both figuratively and literally. Some students are going to discover that they really love certain parts of what we would traditionally consider farming. And other students are going to discover that their interest in STEM or mechanics or engineering can create a career pathway that is lucrative and fulfilling and a supporting role in agriculture. And we need all of those people to learn about their opportunities in ag to keep the industry thriving.
You're teaching in Allegheny County, which, as you implied earlier, is a very rural part of the state where you would assume kids might gravitate toward agriculture or even be living in a farming family. But do you think there are merits to teaching agriculture in more suburban and urban communities? And if so, would you tweak the curriculum that you administer now for those students, or do you think they could benefit from the exact same experience that you're providing in Allegheny County?
I think that's a great question, and it's one that I spend a lot of time on. So surprisingly, even though I teach in a very rural district, I have many students who are completely disconnected from agriculture and where their food comes from. So I believe that the curriculum that I teach, remember, I'm not just teaching classes in farming. I teach animal science and vet science. I teach an environmental science class. So my goal for my students is for them to understand the where and the why and the how behind where their food comes from or the choices that they make in their consumption. And every single person is going to eat and wear clothes every day. And so no matter where you're from, an urban, a suburban, or a rural area, you should be an educated consumer. You're going to spend a tremendous amount of your time and money consuming agricultural products. And so I strongly believe that everyone needs to really understand what they are consuming to make an educated choice of how they're going to spend their time and money.
I read in a press release from the State Education Department that you're now supposed to serve as an ambassador for teachers throughout the state. Any idea what that will entail and how you are looking to exercise that role?
We are still discovering what the year will look like post-COVID, but I've already been scheduling some speaking engagements and opportunities, committees and boards I'll get to be a part of. I think that it's important that I'm able to represent all teachers' voices, and that's something that I'm very passionate about. I love seeing the connection between the content taught in different courses, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to help build communities within schools, to help teachers and administrators discover the pathways to work together. Because when our teachers are allowed to collaborate and our students are allowed to collaborate, everyone wins.
This was obviously a distinction that you strived for, that you, you know, went for. Now that you have it and you know, you're recognized as the best of the best in New York and at a comparatively young age compared to some teachers, do you have any sense of imposter syndrome? Is there any bit of you now in the wake of it that says, oh man, maybe I don't deserve this? Or are you at peace with this recognition?
I am a good teacher because I am surrounded by good teachers. I am able to see and work with absolutely incredible teachers every single day. And I am surrounded by hardworking students that just give me a reason to keep trying and come up with new and innovative ways to teach them things. So I really appreciate this recognition, and I see it as an opportunity. There are so many incredible teachers who I absolutely think deserve this award. But I also know that I am an advocate, and I believe in my ability to make a difference for teachers and for students by helping to improve in some small or large way our education system and the way that they learn.
So finally, we're a state government show, and given that backdrop, are there any education policies that you'd like to see from the state capitol when the legislative session starts up in about 3 months?
I am always advocating for career and technical education in our schools in any way that that comes. Certainly, I am certified in the area of agriculture and support agriculture programs. Believe that every school should have an agriculture program. But I know that every single school could benefit from a career and technical education program in any sense of career and technical education, whether that's business or technology, family and consumer science. Career and technical education gives our students the opportunity to challenge themselves by solving authentic real-world problems. And that is a value no matter the community and no matter the subject.
Well, what would you like to see done at the state level to foster an emphasis on career and technical education in schools throughout the state?
I think that the pathways for certification for career and technical education, recruiting educators into those pathways, working to solve the teacher shortages in our career, well, across the board, but in our career and technical fields especially, to understand what is entailed to have a career in tech program.
It's interesting to hear you mention the CTE pathway, because it seems like in recent years there's been a lot more emphasis on, you know, science, technology, STEAM, and CTE. So I'm curious whether you have any concerns about the pendulum swinging too far in that direction and losing an emphasis on the liberal arts that kids can also obtain in school, or do you feel like the balance still needs a ways to go before we've achieved some sort of equilibrium in schools where we've got the right emphasis on all of these varied approaches to education and various ways that kids learn?
Our schools need to provide the opportunities to students in all of those pathways. And in terms of the pendulum swinging, it's difficult to describe for, because I think it varies so much in every single school where they've put the emphasis, whether that's in career and tech ed or liberal arts or fine arts. And all, in my opinion, all of these programs need to be in balance. We have a unique opportunity to provide our high school and middle school level students with exposure to a variety of careers and pathways that they might want to pursue. And so I think keeping as many of those opportunities as possible accessible to our students while they are in the safety of their their free public education, before they're paying a college tuition, letting them discover those things as high school students is very important to me.
Well, we've been speaking with Carly Santangelo. She is the 2022 Teacher of the Year for New York State. Carly, thank you so much for making the time, and congrats again on the recognition.
Thank you so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.